Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. We have been looking at the topic understanding your calling, and last week we read from Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 to 5 where it says that before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. And I was trying to say that the same way God had predestined our salvation, before we were born, he also predestined our assignment. And we also saw Galatians chapter 1 verse 15 where Apostle Paul was talking about how he was set apart even before he was born to be an apostle. We saw that after you understand the corporate call, we have spent a lot of time trying to explain our corporate call as Christians. What is our corporate call? We have been called to be saints. Saints are those that have been sanctified. The process of sanctification leads to you being a saint. When God was saving you, he had something in mind. God has an expectation in saving you. Whether you know it or not, it's true. God has an expectation in saving you. And if you do not walk in that expectation, it means you are not fulfilling your call. So it is wise for you to understand the will of God. Understand God's expectations in saving you. You know, this is not a good example, so I'm not going to use it. Let me see, think of a better example. When you buy a car, for example, you expect the car to move you from place to place, right? You have that expectation. If you buy a car and then the first day you wanted to drive the car, it had engine problem. You say no problem, you repaired it. The second time again, it had electrical problem. The third time, it had suspension problem. The point is that the car has not succeeded in moving you from place to place. Has that car fulfilled its purpose? No. There is something that God had in mind when he created man. And there's a reason why God created us in his image and in his likeness. I mean, think about it. Did the Lord God have to create us in his image and in his likeness? But really, he did. He had to. The reason is because the assignment that he had for us was a kind of assignment that only God can fulfill. And when God created us in his image, he did not just create us in his image, he created us to be like him. Are we together? Yes. He created us to be his representatives. He wanted us to be like him. But that is not the way we are right now. We have a nature that is altogether alien to the divine nature. You know, there is a satanic nature. There is a demonic nature. And there are many people, in fact, when you were born into this world, you were born with that satanic nature. Now you're like, yes, I said it. You were not born with the divine nature. You were born with a strange nature. Now, do you remember when Jesus Christ said that you're of your father the devil, and the devil was a liar from the beginning, and he was referring to the fact that these people were liars? It is one of the things about Satan, the satanic nature, the devil, is that he's a liar. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you here needed somebody to teach you how to lie as a child? Nobody. So anybody that is not born again has a satanic nature. That nature that we call the Adamic nature is actually a satanic nature. Because God, it was Balaam himself that told us that God is not a man that he should lie. God does not lie. God cannot lie. Hebrews told us that God cannot lie. So when you now began to see that men, even from when they are children, see, I don't remember when I learned out, but I know that when I was very small, I already was an expert at lying. In fact, I was quite good. I was really good at telling lies. I still remember that there was a time, I was 6 years old or so. I was really small. I still have good memories of when I was a child. There was something that I took, and I don't remember the item again, but I still remember it was like, I took it from my parents' bedroom. It was missing, and it was like a mystery, because I said I wasn't the one who took it, and who else took it? My father said it's a lie, that I'm the one that took this thing. I said that, and I was crying, and I said I wasn't the one, I was crying. My mother said, no, now that, my father said, he's lying. He's lying. He's the one that took it. And I was the one that took it. But my lying was so effective that I was even crying. Have you ever seen people like that? Nobody taught me how to lie. It came naturally. It's a hallmark of the satanic nature. Integrity and truth is a hallmark of the divine nature. You see, that's why one thing that was different about Jesus when he walked the earth, and his disciples attested to it, he was full of truth. Disciples said he was full of grace and truth. There was no guile. There was no... Jesus was direct. Are we together? So, there is something about the divine nature that is... So if you are here and you still lie for a living, you know there are people that lie for a living. You lie for it. Let me tell you, you may be born again, but you are walking in a satanic nature. And when the prince of this world comes to visit you, because he normally visits, he will find something in you. You see, Jesus Christ could say that the prince of this world came and found nothing in me. But if you still lie for fun. See, because you have been lying probably longer than you have been a Christian. Once in a while, you may see sleep. You may see half sleep of tongue. What you do in such a case is that you repent. There are some times that you told somebody a lie. If you are serious, you will go and untell that lie. Because you realize that there is something that is going on here that is deeper than what the eyes can see. It is the kingdom of God that is being formed within you. Stop frustrating the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So one of the things that the divine nature must do to you is that it must change you from being a liar to being a truthful person. That was the reason why many of the early Christians were killed. Because when they became born again, they received Jesus true. And ordinary denied, somebody say God is not so petty. That person needs to have his head examined if he's a preacher of the gospel. That Jesus is not so petty. Deny him now. Then you go and repent later, he will forgive you. It's because in spite of the fact that we are Christians, the culture of the kingdom of God has not yet taken over. So we still have a culture where lying is permissible and acceptable. These guys just couldn't lie. Are you a Christian? They couldn't say, and they were going to die for it, but they say, no, we are not going to lie. And many of them, see, the truth is that, words are very powerful. And at such times, if you deny Jesus, it might as well be that you have truly denied him. That you say, no, I'm not a Christian. It might as well be that you have prophesied the rest of your future. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Words are, because at such times of pressure and spiritual pressure, the words that you see are very important. It's just like curses. If you've ever been in a situation where curses are being uttered, or blessings have been uttered. They are not uttered flippantly. It's usually a time of spiritual pressure. That's why when people who go about hurting people and cheating people, there are some times that when you cheat a person and they are under a lot of pressure, spiritual pressure, and they curse you. They don't have to be a witch. They don't have to be a babalawo. Those words will be beyond mere words. They will go into the spirit realm. And because curses are actually judgments. Cause that does not have cause cannot alight. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that's why you see that those believers didn't deny Jesus. They couldn't deny Jesus. Why was it a big deal that Peter denied Jesus 3 times? It's not just denying. You know that thing was such a big deal that Jesus had to tell the women that go and tell my disciples I'm Peter. Because he had to send that message to Peter so that Peter will know that he still accepts him. Because Jesus had trained them for about 3 years and they knew how serious words are. So he knew that denying Jesus, it may just be denying, but it was a big deal. It was a big deal because you saw that it was even a big deal to Jesus. In this our culture, what is the big deal in denying? It's where your heart is now. It's not about me. Just deny him. Maybe I'm his disciple. It's not as if I'm not his disciple. I just say I'm not his disciple so that they will not kill me. But you saw how it was a big deal to Peter. Amen? You saw how it was a big deal to Jesus. They say, no, you will deny me 3 times. It didn't mean that Peter was not going to be his, but just saying that I am not his disciple meant a lot. Jesus was the one that taught them. He said, you will give account of every idle word that you utter. May God help us in this regard in Jesus' name. That's the reason why if somebody has a company and they want the company to prosper, we should have such reputations as Christians that they will say, go and bring, employ somebody. I pray that God will give us in Word Encounter that reputation. Employ somebody that goes to Stream Globe Word Encounter. They won't cheat you. They won't cheat you. The biggest problem that people have, do you know that right now in Nigeria, the biggest companies that we have in Nigeria, amen, are run by foreigners. There was one weekend, there was one time that one Indian man that was, he's one of the people running Dangote Cement. Oh my God. He traveled for 2 weeks for holiday. Because Dangote is a wise businessman. He didn't get to where he is just because he understands his onions as a businessman. The same thing with Adenuga. Some of these successful businessmen, you see, check the people that are controlling things. They are so afraid of putting Nigerians. Why can't it be that they will say, no, just get a Christian. He won't steal money. Just get a Christian. He won't steal. Because you must be that kind of person that someone will say, no, if it is Abraham, no, he can't steal. Because if you don't have that reputation, you are playing. You can make a lot of noise. You are playing. Do you understand what I say? You don't have any authority in the name of the Spirit. You can have power, oh, because power is a function of, you know, it's just, the spirit realm is also very, very, if you understand spiritual principles, spiritual things will work for you. And now that the Holy Ghost has come, there is a protocol of power. The Holy Ghost, if you pray in tongues for long, there will be power in your life. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you have so much authority. And when the chips are down, you will know the difference between authority and power. Because authority is the thing that will make you to talk to God. Eh? When you finish shouting and nothing, and you can talk to God, and because you said a prayer, the course of history changes. Things change because you have something with God. Amen? That you are a Christian and someone cannot trust. Are you getting my point? See, now listen to me. Remember I told you about my life. I did not change overnight. Oh yes. I was as crooked. I'm trying to look for something to describe crooked. I was very, very crooked and very, very, in fact, because of that, I had to be very, very particular. So I didn't change overnight, but I allowed the Lord to change me. I allowed the Lord to change me. And the reason was because I first of all admitted that Abraham, you lie. Abraham, you are a liar. I admitted that Abraham, you are deceptive. Some of my friends, see, let me tell you something. Today, I'm not this. If you know me very well, you know I'm not, I'm not deceptive. But let me tell you, even till now, if you know me very well, you know that the way I am wired, I can be very deceptive. I can be doing something like this, and you are very close to me, you won't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a skill that God gave me that the devil would have used, because there are certain ministry graces that God give you, that he will give you certain skill, such that a lot of things can be running at the same time and it's not affecting your core. You understand what I'm saying? But if you don't yield to God and allow God to use you, the devil will take that skill and use it to damage a lot of lives. And I thank God that Jesus found me. And now I repel deceit. I've met many believers are very deceitful. I know that they are a work in progress. But when you are a work in progress, we also know. Try to keep your word. That's the divine nature. Amen? Amen. So I was talking about how that God created us in his image and in his likeness. But something happened along the way. And instead of us to have the nature of God, the divine nature, we had the satanic nature. James talks about how the wisdom of this world is demonic. That is the wisdom that you find in a person that is not in the kingdom of God. If you are not in the kingdom of God, you are automatically in the kingdom of this world. There is no, you are either in light, in the kingdom of light, or you are in the kingdom of darkness. If you are not in the kingdom of light, you are in the kingdom of darkness. Amen? If you find a person that is not born again, now what it means automatically is that he is in the kingdom of darkness. It means that no matter how refined he may be, no matter how morally upright he may think he has a satanic nature. It means that his heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, the Bible says the heart of man. Because after the fall, man became altogether foreign to the divine nature. When the prophet was speaking, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, when he said that God is not a man that he should lie. That man there was just a fallen man. Man that has obtained the image of God will also not be a liar. Say, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So it's possible for you, because you had a fallen nature. It's possible for you, in spite of the fact that you are born again, to still be walking according to that fallen nature. Tell your neighbor, God forbid. That's why I say, put off the old man and put on the new man. You have, because as you are right now, you can still be, even though you have a new nature, if you do not allow that nature to grow and dominate you, you will still be walking like the old man. You will still be, even me like this, it's not as if I cannot commit sin. It's not as if I cannot lie. It's not as if I cannot commit fornication. It's just that, one, I won't. And the way you are, the way God made us as human beings, have you ever noticed that if you carry this in your hand now and decide that you're not going to use this hand for a long time, maybe you just put it in one place. You know what will happen to it after some time? You will not be able to use it. It will just become like weak or dead. That's what it means to mortify the works of the flesh. When you start, it will not be easy. But as you continue, and that's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Word of God. As you continue, you are not weary in doing what is right. He says, don't worry, in due time, you will reap the reward. Because the truth is that when you live according to the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, you are sowing to the Spirit. And what you reap as a result of that is life eternal. When you walk according to the flesh, you are sowing to the flesh. And what you reap as a result of that is death and corruption. So, the more you insist that, okay, you realize, you told a lie again, you say, no, I won't lie again. You repent. Sometimes you need to train yourself. You know what I mean by train yourself? If I lied to you, and after I lied to you, in order for me to repent, I came to meet you, and I confessed the lie. You know, it's very, very difficult. It's a difficult thing to do. My flesh does not like it. My soul does not like it. It takes a level of humility. It takes a level of bringing yourself down to say, bro, Yemi, sorry, that thing I told you was a lie. Or I came to your house and I saw 5,000 around your chair and I took 2,000. And it was in such a way that you will not know that I was the one that took it. Then when I repent, I come back to you with the 2,000 naira. I say, bro, Yemi, sorry, I stole your 2,000 naira. Bro, you may be a good brother. He will say, I forgive you, right? You will not forgive, you will forgive the person. But, you know that, if you did that, that's what I'm talking about, training yourself. If you did that, the next time, even if you say you have tendency to steal, the next time you go to Bro Yemi's house and you remember that, you because you belong to Jesus, amen? And Jesus will not leave you. And you are wise enough not to leave Jesus, because you know that leaving Jesus means damnation. It means hell. So it's like a marriage. You know, marriage is till death do us part. You know that since I'm not going anyway, I will still come and repent of this sin. And my repentance is not just that I will do one repentance in my bedroom. I will still go through the shame again of carrying 2,000 naira. In fact, sometimes you want to restitution properly. It's not 2,000 that you return. Because when you stole, are you understand? Time is money. You add something else. It's Bro Yemi that will now say, sorry, don't worry. Just return the 2,000. And Bro Yemi can decide that he will collect the 2,500. And he didn't do anything wrong. If you know that the next time that you steal, you will do that again. Your mind will educate your body, not to steal. That's what I mean, train yourself. You have problem with pornography. Anytime you go online, before you know, you just see naked girls. You look small. Then you now say, okay, it's time to train ourselves. Then you don't take me as I am. God forgive you. But you now say, Father, how long can I continue like this? Because when, as long as you keep that cycle of sin, you are not growing. It's just like when a person is sick. He's not dead. But you know, have you seen people that are sick for long? You know what happens to them? They are emaciated. If you see children that are sick, that all their childhood they were sick, their mates will be running and jumping up and down. Their mates will be big, they will still be small. Things that their mates can do, they cannot do. Their mates will be in just one, they will still be in primary three. Spiritually, you didn't die spiritually, but because you are playing with sin. All the spiritual energy that you are supposed to be using to grow spiritually and grow into your sonship, because you know, even physically, you don't give children authority over your estate. Nobody gives his 4-year-old child or even his 7-year-old child his car key. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. God cannot give many people the keys to the kingdom. Peter got to a point when Jesus said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. As long as you remain a baby Christian, you cannot have the keys to the kingdom. Yes, you are a child of God. Yes, you are in the house of God. And you cannot grow into maturity if you keep falling and rising, falling and rising. So sometimes you need to tell yourself that, okay, in order for me, I'm tired of this falling and rising, so it's time to train myself. How do you train yourself? You say, okay, the next time I watch pornography, 3 days dry. Amen? Amen. Now, because you have trained yourself in integrity that when you say you will do a thing, you will do it. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of God allows violence. And the violence, what? Takes it by force. If you are not going to be violent and hard on yourself, you won't go far in the kingdom of God. If you cry, God will be, God, in fact, the Holy Spirit will be crying with you. You know, he comforts you. You know, sometimes the best way to comfort you, you will know that he's with you in your tears. I don't mean he's crying literally, but you know that he's with you in your tears. Say, hey, well, yeah, sorry. When a demon comes and slap you, boy, you cry. Yeah, the Holy Spirit says, yeah, sorry. But you will still be in that place where demons will be coming to slap you, manipulate you, steal from you, oppress you, because you have refused to apply violence. When you now wake up and say, okay, you know what? The next time I mistakenly look upon a woman like that and undress her with my eyes, we are going on 3 days dry. The first time you do it, you go on 3 days dry. After 1 week, you just go. It's called that maybe 1 week after the first 3 days dry, all that appetite will also dry up with the dry fasting. Maybe, but after 1 week, maybe the appetite is now coming back again. Then maybe you look again. You go on another 3 days dry. By the time you do that for like 5 times, your mind will beg your body that, or your, I don't know which one will beg which one, that you better stop looking. Amen. He said, he that has suffered in his flesh has ceased from all sins. Is it first or second Peter? First Peter. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from all sins. You need to be violent. You need to take the bull by the horn and stop allowing the devil to manipulate your destiny. Amen? Amen. When you begin to make such decisions, you will discover that it may not be convenient for you, but you are growing. Last week, Saturday, I told Austin, prophetically, I said, a lot of things will happen to you that will hinder you from coming for word encounter next Saturday. Try your best to come. Of course, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me anything that will happen. But even me, that I am discipling him, at some point I said, I felt that he would not be able to come for meeting today. But I remember that word of prophecy, that the Lord gave that word of prophecy because he wanted him to still be able to come in spite of everything. He was so sick during the week. Look at him using inhaler. This morning when I was on that call, I was on that call him. I said, how far? Will you be able to come? He said, that he will come tomorrow. I said, do you remember that word of prophecy? I said, try to come today. You think it was convenient for him to come? I don't think so. But because he came, there is something he's going to be, and the Lord said that because when he comes, there is something he will receive. Because, you see, God, you may not know how to keep time, but the angels of God don't know how to not keep time. And God is not a respecter of persons. Let me tell you something. This one I know. There are some times that you pray. Let's say you determine that you are going to be praying. The Holy Spirit led you to pray 3 hours every night. 3 hours every night. 3 hours every night. And then you are praying 3 hours every night. You are praying 3 hours every night. You don't know. The angels of the Holy Spirit, God has given the angels instruction that on the 70th night, give him this breakthrough. Give him this, give him that. The devil does not know that he's on the 70th night, but all the devil knows is that as long as he can make you not to be consistent, he knows that you will not receive what God has planned. So it will be one of those nights. Because, let me tell you something about angels. There are angels, if you read Ezekiel, you see that there are angels that are always taking measurements. If you read the book of Revelation, you see angels take record. They take measurements. Why do you think Jesus will say things like even the hair on your head are numbered? I don't even want to go into all of that. But they said at the 70th night, he will be consistent. You are going to bring him from this level of grace to this level of grace. But you, the 68th, you've been doing it for the 68th night. The devil brought one hindrance. You caved in. The next night, that's how the devil kept hindering you. A blessing you were supposed to receive in year 2020. You didn't receive it until 2025, and it was not God's fault. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. We are not alone. We must learn to take advantage of the help of the Holy Spirit. There are many times that you just find that you cannot do it. If I just come to terms from the beginning and know that by strength shall no man prevail. Your strength has never been sufficient to execute the things of the kingdom. So you must learn to depend on the Holy Spirit and ask him for help. At that time when you know you should pray, but you find that you cannot pray, learn to ask him for help. You remember I said, ask and you shall what? Receive. So learn to open your mouth and ask. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Sometimes that prayer is the difference between life and death. That prayer is the difference between continuing in God's agenda and failing and falling. Just that prayer. Because words in the spirit are much more than sounds. Words are life. They are powerful. This realm came into existence through words. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. So because you have a divine nature, now that you are born again, you have a divine nature. But that nature you have is like a seed. The Bible says that you were born of the incorruptible seed. You know, Jesus Christ talked about the kingdom of God, and he said the kingdom of God is like a mustard tree, mustard seed. And after it grew, it became the biggest tree, and many birds were even coming to dwell on it. What does that mean? Jesus Christ told his disciples, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you receive the kingdom of God as a seed. If you are feeling sleepy, stand up. I know you were in a night vigil. Was it your training? Amen? You receive the kingdom of God as a what? As a seed. I didn't say everybody should stand up. I said, if you are feeling sleepy, stand up. Oh, okay, this is not normal. Every spirit of distraction and sleep in this place, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I still remember when the Lord told me, it wasn't too long ago, that you now have the authority to bind. Now, I, of course, as a Christian, I thought I had the authority to bind. Yeah, we all have the authority to bind. He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Oh, by the way, that authority was given to the church, to the ecclesia. It's easier for us to come here and say, we bind and it will be bound. And when all of us say, amen. It took some levels of growth for the Lord to come and tell me that from now on, you have the authority. He showed me the vision and told me, and oh boy, how much I have gained from that authority to bind. You see, now that I say I bind every spirit of sleep, I'm not joking. Every spirit is bound. It's bound. It's a function. You must have a track record of work with God. I have not attained though. Me, I'm still on my journey. Amen? But as you grow, one of the things that God, when God gives you authority, because that thing that God gave me can be likened to a key. Sometimes I see some demonic activities and I say, in the name of Jesus, every that spirit that is responsible, I bind. And it works like a miracle. I mean, I cannot even begin to give us examples. I said I even gave us an example last week. What is it, a person behaving in a certain way, and then I just take that authority, and because I know his spirit is responsible, I bind that spirit, and that person changes almost instantly. Because many times that people behave in certain ways, they are being influenced by spirits. Spirits can influence your mood. They can even influence what, may God give us understanding in Jesus' name. So the divine nature is one that we have received as a seed. You see, every tree you see in the garden or in the wilderness or in the forest or in your backyard was once a seed. Do you agree?
Yes.
For those of us that understand a little bit about agriculture, you know that it was once a seed. You see, that tree that is so big there, you know there are some trees that if they fall on your building will also fall. That tree was once a small seed. The reason why that seed became such a massive tree is because it was allowed to grow. The kingdom of God that you have received and the divine nature that you have received, are we together? Is you received it as a seed. But there's a reason why Apostle Peter reminds us or informs us that this seed is an incorruptible seed. Because this seed will not die if you do not get rid of it. That's the reason why there are some people that have been Christians for 20 years. And they are baby Christians. They will sin, they will repent, they will sin, they will repent, but they have not denied the faith. And they are still Christians. They still have that seed, but it has not grown. Because it is what? An incorruptible seed. The reason why normal seed, the seed you have, can die is because of corruption. It's because the forces of corruption will enter it and kill it. Bacteria, whatever. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But the seed that you have in the kingdom of God is what? An incorruptible seed. Now, I am not in any way saying that once saved, always saved. Because, amen? Your salvation was also a result of your decision. You had to decide to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't worry. Just don't worry. Amen? You had to decide to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I don't want you to be distracted. So, because you have a very important part to play. You know, Jesus Christ came. Do you know what it means to die for something? That's the highest level of commitment. That's the highest level of desire for that thing. And he died. Do you know what John the Baptist said about Jesus? He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He died for the sins of the world. But do you know that in as much as he desires more than you can imagine for people to be saved, in order for people to be saved, they have to make a decision by themselves. That's why we preach to them, compelling them. And when they make that decision, he can now come and take over and help them. So this incorruptible seed that you have received, what I am saying is that if you look at that incorruptible seed doctrine and you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you can come with the conclusion that you can never lose your salvation. But the truth is that when you find a person that lost his salvation, because there are scriptures that say it black and white, that people have had a shipwreck of the faith, that people have become reprobate, that they can no longer be forgiven. There are scriptures that talk about how that, there are too many scriptures that make it very clear that if you do not continue, if you do not endure to the end, it's only those that endure to the end that will be saved. Amen? Inasmuch as you have the incorruptible seed, the reason why people lose their salvation is because of the things that they do. Not the things that God stops doing. The Bible says that if we deny him, he will deny us. But you know that I say, if we are unfaithful, he says he will remain faithful. Amen? Because God will not stop being faithful. Holy Spirit, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, because you have that incorruptible seed, what happens many times, listen to me, and this is a very important point. If you continue to walk in the flesh, some people, that thing that they did for 20 years, some other people, they try it for 2 years, and then they have a shipwreck of the faith. They just no longer have the ability to have faith. There is no formula. It's not covered by doctrine. How many times you will play with sin before you experience spiritual death is not covered by doctrine. There are many factors that are at play for different people. Just like our fingerprints are different, that's how our spirits are different. So you cannot say, because this person, you know this brother, he has been playing with sin, and then after 3 years, he repented, and now God is using him. You, if you play with sin like the way he was playing with sin, you may just play with sin like that for 3 months, and you are gone. So don't play with sin. That's the lesson of this short story. Don't play with sin. Now, because that seed is an incorruptible seed, it will not die as long as you remain in Christ. As long as you continue to love him. As long as you remain in the faith. But listen to me. If you want that seed to grow, you have to nurture it. You know that there are some trees that are so big, because the kingdom of God is bigger than any kingdom. If you allow the kingdom of God to grow, you realize that the kingdom of God and the culture of the kingdom is stronger than the kingdom of Benin or Yoruba or whatever culture you came from. You will just allow it to grow. After some time, your Christian identity will be Christianity. The kingdom of God will control your life more than your culture, because you are allowing it to grow. You know, before, when you were first a believer, you were still thinking like whatever culture, like a Nigerian. You know, there's a way Nigerians do their things. One of the corrupt cultures of Nigeria is corruption. It's part of our culture. If you go to the market, I still remember the first time I was shopping in Ghana. I was actually quite embarrassed, because